Today I return to Syria, which I think has got significantly more dangerous in the last few weeks. Let's just recap a little, if I may. Syria was a secular state. The president was Assad. He still is president. He's an Alawite, which is a sect of the Muslim Shias. And Syria is an ally of the Russian Federation. It was a very successful secular state. It was not a democracy. It was an autocracy. But it was successful insofar it was peaceful. The Jews, Christians, Sunnis, Shias, they could all pray in peace and harmony. And indeed, Assad was the darling of the West. Just a few years ago, he was a guest of Her Majesty and was generally regarded to be a thoroughly good egg, certainly with the turmoil in the countries round about him. Now, this was all fine and dandy until the American State Department decided that it would be a good idea if Syria was no longer an ally of the Russian Federation, but was destabilized and replaced with a client administration of the United States, of course, which is what they attempted in Libya, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Goodness me, don't they make a mess of it? Almost everything they do turns to rat poo, doesn't it? But anyway, that's what they decided. So they destabilized Syria, and the Syrian rebel army consists of Sunnis who want a theocracy. They want a, instead of a secular autocracy, they want a theocracy run by Sunnis. And that idea has the support of Saudi Arabia, which of course is one, Turkey, Qatar, Kuwait, Pakistan, and the other Sunni Muslim countries. And of course, as always, this is about influence in oil-producing states. And the Americans want Syria as a client state. The Russians went to the aid, the rebellion of the Syrian rebel army, went to the aid of their ally, quite properly in my opinion. And now we have this rather absurd standoff, which of course has destroyed Syria and given us all these terrible problems that we now have. It's also spawned an unbelievably well-funded terrorist organisation in ISIS, who control the oil-producing parts of Syria, and they sell their oil to Turkey, and we're talking hundreds of millions of pounds. So we have a very serious situation, which grows more serious by the day. And when ISIS put in those appalling attacks in Paris, our politicians felt that they had to do something, which is the natural result in the modern thinking democracies, politicians must do something. So they dispatched the Royal Air Force. They didn't quite know what they were going to do with the Royal Air Force going there, but they thought, well, let's do that. Let's bomb ISIS if we can find it. And so there was no great plan. And of course, one of the objections I put in my last broadcast on Syria and things I've written about Syria, that they broke all the rules of military engagement. You must have an integrated command structure, you must have a war aim, you must have these fundamentals of military science if things aren't going to go wrong. And now we find ourselves, of course, in a war zone with the Russians and the Syrians wanting one outcome, the Americans and their satellite allies, which include the European Union, wanting another. We have a rogue organisation, which is ISIS, which is terrorists, which nobody actually wants, but are fairly hand in glove with the Syrian rebel army, which is something that is generally speaking not referred to by the BBC or American broadcasting. They actually work hand in glove. So we have a very dangerous situation, and even more so now with Saudi Arabia rattling their sabres and mobilising 120,000 men with a lot of hardware, which of course they have state-of-the-art from the United States and the United Kingdom. They have some very high-quality hardware. So it looks like the whole thing is going to be ratcheted up. Now, I would argue that from a strategic perspective, and I am a graduate of the Royal College of Defence Studies in strategy. In fact, I did my dissertation on war aims. If you don't have a proper war aim, there's very much little point in going to war. In fact, history shows that wars very often, or nearly always, don't produce the result that people think that they're going to. I'll come back to that in a minute. But if we really want a stable Syria, and I would argue that we all do with this immigration crisis and everything that's going now so very badly wrong, we want a stable Syria, the thing to do would be to support the Russians supporting the Syrian government, stabilising Syria, going back to a secular administration and stamping out ISIS with boots on the ground, which is going to be the only way that it can be done. That, I would argue, is the end game. That's what we all want, and that's the most pragmatic way of getting there. It reminds me a little bit historically of the Great War, the danger I think that we're facing now in Syria if we're not careful. We know that there was the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo in 1914. We knew that the Austrian-Hungarian Empire squared up to Serbia. There was a standoff. Russia mobilised. Germany mobilised. It was known as the War of Railway Timetables. France was sucked in because they were allied to Russia. And of course, the United Kingdom had that disastrous, disastrous concept with France, the Entente Cordiale. And we were all sucked in to that appalling crime against humanity, the Great War. And I would argue that nobody really wanted a Great War. It sort of happened by accident. It sort of happened because people had painted themselves into corners. And I would argue that we are possibly in danger of finding ourselves sucked in to yet another war which has nothing whatsoever to do with the United Kingdom. So I put it to you, I put this question to you. Do you believe that the replacement of a secular administration in Syria by a Sunni theocracy is worth the death of one single British serviceman? Well, of course, it can't be, can it? It's an absurdity. And I would argue the best thing we can do now is to withdraw and make it absolutely clear to all our allies, certainly in NATO and the Americans, we will not commit one single soldier to that theatre of war under any circumstances. Better to tell them now than have to tell them later when they've committed us.